Throughout this year, we're talking about what the Bible really says about. And some of you have your worship guides, and we're getting some more worship guides printed, so keep watching for those in the upcoming weeks. This is the second Sunday of Lent, and during the season of Lent, we're talking about confronting suffering and evil. Last week, we talked about good people and bad things, and today, what we're talking about is, where is God when people are suffering? So we're going to begin today with a psalm that is normally sung, or it is surely in ancient times it was sung. And it's a psalm of David that is attributed to the time when he was captured by the Philistines, the one of the great warring peoples of his day. And so he cries out to God. And that's what we can do when we're confronting suffering and evil. The Psalms give us that permission because people always have cried out to God, and the Psalms let us do that and encourage us and help us and pay attention, close attention to the end of the Psalm, because it always, the Psalms of crying out always end with, but God, you have already done so much for me. So pay attention to that. And then in a few moments, we're going to hear a passage from Romans. It's a pretty familiar passage to a lot of people. When we are reminded that by the apostle that all things work together for good, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to begin with the psalm.
Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they hope to have my life. So we pray, repay them for their crime, in wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. They are not in your record. Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And now these words from the 8th chapter of Romans. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. We know, O God, that with you all things are well. And so put your peace upon our hearts, even in the midst of whatever turmoil might be there. We know you are there. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to begin today with a short video that tells the story of how the words to the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," came to be. Watch and read along.
When and peace like a river attended my way. And sorrows I see.
That some of the words are hard to read, so I'm going to summarize this very briefly. In the mid-1800s, Horatio Spafford was a layperson from Chicago, and he had a successful legal business as well as many real estate investments. And he and his wife lost their only son to death, and then just after that, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed all of his real estate holdings. He lost everything overnight. And then a couple of years later, to take a vacation and have a rest, he planned for a vacation with his family, his wife and his four daughters, in Great Britain, and then was delayed going himself and sent his wife and daughters ahead, and their vessel was sunk when it was hit by a ship, another ship, and he got a telegram from his wife a couple of days later that said, "Saved alone." Their daughters had drowned in the crash. And while he immediately made plans to leave for Great Britain, and when he got near the place where his daughters had perished, he wrote the words to, "It is well with my soul." What a tragedy and a heartache. And it causes us to ask, where is God when people are suffering? Well, there was plenty of suffering this week. A plane crash, floods, the shooting in New Zealand, and continued uncertainty about the future of our beloved United Methodist Church. Mostly, I wanted to cry out this week, "Where are you, God?" And I realized that an insight came to me from long ago and kind of far away. And this is a story of Julian of Norwich. Julian, and we don't even know if that was her real name, lived in the 1300s in Norwich in England. And Julian wrote the earliest surviving book in the English language to be written by a woman. Julian lived her life as an anchoress, meaning that she lived in a small room attached to a church, to St. Julian's Church in Norwich. In 1373, when she was about 30 years old, she became so seriously ill that everyone thought she would die. And during that time, she received a series of visions, revelations called showings about the Passion of Christ. She recovered from her illness and she wrote a couple of versions of her revelations. As she lived in seclusion in this little apartment next to St. Julian's, she wrote these. She wrote about her revelations, and she also provided spiritual guidance to people who came by. So she was an important figure in the 1300s. And here is what she wrote, among many other things. Julian wrote, "God is nearer to us than our own soul." She says, "Jesus told me these words, 'All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well.'" And she says, this was said so tenderly, without blame of any kind toward me or anybody else. The Apostle Paul understood this too. "If God is for us, nothing can be against us, and who can separate us from the love of God?" During a particularly difficult time in my life, Julian of Norwich came into my life. And I began to pray her words, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and yes, all shall be well." And I prayed my way, with God's help, out of a physical and spiritual unhealth with the help of this 14th century Christian mystic. Where is God when people are suffering? Well, it turns out that God is right there in the midst of it, letting light into the cracks of our lives. God is already there weeping with us, already working to bring light. God's loving presence, God's Spirit, is right there in music. In that beautiful anthem, God's there. In the song, "It is well with my soul." In "Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia." And many other pieces of music. Yesterday at Jean Ogle's memorial service, Kathy Harris Hirschenroder sang "Indescribable" and sang about the indescribable love of God. And people's hearts were healed over by the singing of the words. God's loving presence, God is right there with us in pictures, in photographs, in scenes from nature. God is with us in comforting words of Scripture. Some of the words that we are reading in this season of Lent. God is with us in word and in prayer. God is with us in the stories of people like Horatio Spafford and Julian of Norwich and the people sitting next to you in your pews who have told you their stories of loss and healing. And God is with us in one another. As we offer one another a tender and a gentle hand in times of suffering and in times of struggle, God is there with us. God is there with us when someone in the midst of it all can make us smile and laugh and touches us with a tender hand that lightens our load. And sometimes God is just there with a sense of, I only know this word, how to say this. God is there with me in theirness. Just plain old there. God is there. Doesn't have to be through a person or a song or words. God's Spirit is just there, bringing hope and light and comfort in the midst of hard times. You know, there's an underlying question to this, this question of where is God when people are suffering? And that question is, why doesn't God stop it from happening? That's what we all wonder, don't we? Why didn't you, here's my cry this week, why didn't you stop the shooter, God? Why don't you roll back the waters of the floods or stop the plane from crashing? And when people ask me these questions, I have to say, I'm not sure. I wish I had a better answer to that. Can't or doesn't God choose to not have these things happen? What I can say is that God gives freedom. We don't want God to take away our freedom, do we? God gives freedom to each of us and to all of us together. God gives freedom to the planet, to the universe, free will for us and for the world. And then sometimes things happen. Sometimes by human sin, sometimes things just happen. And God moves into the cracks and works. I also believe that God moves into the cracks punishing injustice. Sometimes it takes a while, but God does work always for life abundant and for strengthening and healing. And when there is injustice, God moves in to punish it. And God uses suffering to bring about light and hope, to inspire us to become better, to be better, to be part of the healing. I don't believe that God causes evil and suffering. What kind of a God would do that? I can't believe in a kind of a God that would do that. And also, pressing it just a bit further, what if God intervened every time? What would that be like? A clockwork kind of existence? Where God prevented everything and intervened at every moment? How would God choose which things to intervene on and which things not? God instead gives freedom to us and to the universe. And sometimes that means times of suffering will come. And then God moves into the cracks to bring light and hope through music and words and stories and people and theirness. You know, there is a rest of the story to It Is Well With My Soul. The Spaffords had another daughter and then a son who also died and then another daughter, Grace. And then the family moved to Jerusalem out of a deep interest in the Holy Land. There they established an American colony that did philanthropic activities among Jews, Muslims, and Christians. And after decades of these benevolent activities, the colony stopped in the 1950s, but it continued in a second life as the American Colony Hotel, the first home of the talks between Palestine and Israel that led to the 1983 Oslo Peace Accords. I have a personal story with this hymn. When I was a district superintendent before I came to St. Mark's, I superintended a Korean fellowship in Central Phoenix. And this fellowship was really struggling, especially after 9/11, when so many people went back to Korea or who were afraid to come. The fellowship was really struggling. They wanted to do well, but they didn't have enough money. They didn't have money to pay for their rent. They really wondered, would they survive? Some of them had overstayed their visas. They had gone to school and they'd stayed, and they wondered if they would be discriminated against. Would they be able to be a congregation that would make a difference in Phoenix? And one day I met with them to help them decide what they were going to do about their future. And they began with a worship service, and they sang, "It is well with my soul," in Korean. In their loud, boisterous, deep, and rich voices, they sang. And I didn't understand the Korean, but I understood the hymn. And they sang, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Singing it together and struggling together, they brought their reliance on God together, and they sang out, "It is well. It is well with my soul." They eventually made a decision to disband. People went to other congregations, and they carried their voices, singing, "It is well with my soul." They made that day Julian of Norwich's words come real for me. In the midst of struggle and suffering and sorrow, God is nearer to us than our own soul. And Jesus said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." This was said so tenderly, I knew it was God himself. Thanks be to God. Amen.